Hello, everyone, and again, this is Minor Hawk, your voice of a gospel speaker, greeting you in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And friends, I'm so grateful to God for giving me still another opportunity to open His book, the Bible, and to bring to you who are listening in another message in the gospel. You know, the word gospel means good news, and it sure is good news to unsaved sinners who are perishing in their sin and who realize their need of a Savior. Unfortunately, most people today don't realize that they need a Savior. They think that their so-called good works or religious rituals or even their church membership or moral living are sufficient to gain them into God's heaven. But friend, listen, if it were possible to get to heaven by these virtues and characteristics, then why did Jesus die? Why did God let His Son die the shameful and ignominious death on Calvary's cross, if you and I could reach heaven by our own virtue or self-righteousness? No, the Scriptures are quite clear. In Titus 3 and 5 we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy He saved us." In fact, in Isaiah 64 and 6, here's what God says, "Ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses, or good works, are as filthy rags." And we read in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where God declares, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Friend, there isn't one verse in the entire Bible that says that a person can get to heaven by living a so-called good, clean life. No, the only people who will be in heaven will be those who are obedient to God's Word and God's way. And that simply means accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. In John 14 and 6, Jesus said, "I am the way," not one of the ways. He says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Again in John 10 and 9, He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Friend, there is absolutely no salvation for your soul apart from faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So please stay tuned and let the Holy Spirit of God, through God's Word, bring both conviction and conversion to your soul. Now let's listen to our first hymn for today, and it's entitled, "How Great Thou Art."
Thank you.
Today that he is a great God. Not only a great God, but he's the Father of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think of what Nehemiah the prophet says back in Nehemiah 9 and verse 17. Here's what he says. Thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. I thank God for his grace and love and mercy expressed in the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee, Father, for his grace in leaving the throne above and coming down to this sin-cursed earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank thee, our God, that Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us back to thee. And our God, the desire of our heart today is to see souls saved. We know that salvation is of the Lord. We know that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And we think of the words of thy Son who could declare of a truth that no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. So, Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word about to be read and spoken from today. May it please thee, our God, to honor afresh thy Son and thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, we'll listen to another lovely tune, and it's entitled, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for us. crown.
Well, friends, I thank God today for the old rugged cross. Yes, nearly 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that center cross, dying for me and dying for you. Now then, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today four separate portions of the Word of God, the first found in Paul's writing to the saints in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now the second scripture, in John chapter 3, John's Gospel chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The third scripture, John's Gospel, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 21. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And now for the last scripture, in Revelation, chapter 22, and verse 20. Revelation 22 and verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now friends, you've no doubt noticed in the four scripture verses I've read to you today, that there was an expression which was common in all four of the verses. And that common expression consisted of just two little words. Even so. Even so. In our first scripture, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, we read of the sentence of death. In our second scripture, John 3 and verse 14, we read of the symbol and simplicity of salvation. In our third scripture, John 5 and verse 21, we read of the sovereignty of God. And finally, in our fourth scripture, Revelation 22 and verse 20, we read of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, it's also interesting to notice that each one of these scriptures bring before us the life that is found in Jesus Christ alone. Now then, let's take a look at our first scripture, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. And here's what we read. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Friends, I believe this scripture verse is one of the most paradoxical expressions found in the entire Word of God, because it brings before us quite forcibly the contrasting elements called life and death. Yes, and four of the saddest words in all the English language are found in this verse. In Adam, all die. In other words, it tells us that because we have inherited the sinful Adamic nature of our first parents, Adam and Eve, we too are subject to death. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And friends, this is the reason that the psalmist declares in Psalm 51 and 5, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Yes, we're all born with a sinful nature which is contrary to God. And that's why we must be born again, or born spiritually from above, if we ever expect to enter the family and kingdom of God. And furthermore, this new birth takes place the moment a sinner acknowledges in his heart and before God that his physical birth made him a sinner, and then he must accept the truth of God's word, which tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross for our sins. Not just the sins of the world, but your sin and my sin in particular. And friends, as individual sinners, we must appropriate by faith the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to our sin-sick soul. Now along this same line of thought, I'd like to read to you three or four verses found in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. Listen to this. Listen to the contrasting truths expressed in these verses by the Apostle Paul. Therefore, as by the offense of one, meaning Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, meaning Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, my friend, even though in Adam we are all condemned to both physical and spiritual death, Even so, if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior, we become the recipients of eternal life. Oh, how thankful we Christians should be today for the gift of all gifts, all other gifts in one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, thank God, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And sinner friend, you too can rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven and life eternal by simply taking the humble place before God. Admit your need of a Savior, and then place your trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that leads us to our second text for today, John 3 and verse 14, which brings before us not only the symbol of salvation, but also the simplicity of salvation. Here in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to a most religious Pharisee named Nicodemus. And he is telling him, by example, how the Son of God must be crucified if sinners are to be having eternal life. Knowing that Nicodemus was a student of the Old Testament scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 3, verses 14 and 15, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now friends, here the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding this religious Pharisee, Nicodemus, of an incident which happened way back in the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers, when God's people Israel were murmuring and complaining in the wilderness, and as a result, God sent fiery serpents amongst the people, and many of them were bitten and they died. It was then that Moses interceded with God on their behalf, and God told Moses to make a brazen serpent and to hang it on a pole, and everyone who had been bitten and who would look at the brazen serpent on the pole, they would be healed. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was declaring the fact that he too must be lifted up, and all who look by faith to the Christ of the cross will likewise be saved and have eternal life. Over in John 12 and verse 32, the Lord Jesus Christ declared, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me." And sinner friend, if you'll acknowledge that you've been bitten by sin, and then look by faith to Calvary's cross, you too will receive a blessing from God. Over in Isaiah 45 and verse 22, God declares, Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Now mind you, sinner friend, God doesn't say that you'll be saved if you look to a church or a religion or a doctrine or a creed or a preacher. Oh no, the simplicity of salvation is by faith in a look to the Lord Jesus Christ, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. Yes, he who knew no sin was made sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Sinner friend, nearly 2,000 years ago, God manifest in flesh, suffered, bled, and died on an old rugged cross. He was bearing away our sins in His own body on the tree. Yes, He was shedding His precious blood, which alone cleanseth from all sin. You know, I used to wonder why God would ask Moses to put a brazen serpent on a pole. Why not something else other than a brazen serpent? Ah, my friend, God knew the end from the beginning. Back in Genesis 3, a curse was placed upon the serpent who had beguiled Eve, and that curse is still on the serpent today. But back in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23, we read that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And over in Galatians 3 and verse 13, we read, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Yes, sinner friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to become a curse for you and I. He was the just one, dying for you and I, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Now for our third scripture text, John 5 and 21, here's what we read. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. Friends, here we find a scripture which brings before us the sovereignty of God. And this subject of the sovereignty of God is so vast that I couldn't possibly discuss the subject adequately in the allotted time. But friends, this lack of time in no way detracts from the great and basic fundamental truths contained in the sovereignty of God. Now our text tells us that it is God through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of God and God's Word who quickens those who are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. Over in Zechariah 4 and verse 6, we're told that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Again in John 6 and verse 63, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Sinner friend, it's impossible for you to become a child of God apart from the Holy Spirit of God using God's Word to convict you of sin and to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the salvation of your soul is dependent upon your soul being awakened by the Holy Spirit of God. And friend, this awakening, which can result in quickening, is brought about by the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to show you your lost and depraved condition in the sight of God. Friends, I could stand before this microphone all day and read to you the Word of God, but if the Holy Spirit of God is not finding a favorable response in that sinful heart of yours, you'd never be saved. No, merely hearing the Word of God will never save a soul. On the other hand, if a sinner will both hear and believe the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit can quicken or bring to life those who are spiritually dead. In Psalm 119 and verse 50, here's what the psalmist says, Thy Word hath quickened me. And friends, that's the reason that I continually bring before you the Word of God, giving chapter and verse. God doesn't promise to bless my words, but He does promise in Isaiah 55 and 11 that if His Word goes forth, it shall not return unto Him void. So, sinner friend, please give heed to the Word of God. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we're told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Someone might be saying out there in Radio Land today, well, how do I get the faith so that I can please God? Well, in Romans 10 and 17, we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, friends, don't lose sight of the fact that in some respects, faith is a gift of God. You can't stir up faith. No, it's not by the will of the flesh. It's not by the will of man. And it's not the result of your physical, mental, or psychological makeup either. Over in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, here's what we read. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So friend, don't try to work your way into favor with God, because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy He saves us. No, salvation is not by inheritance, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." So that's it, friend. The efforts, efficiency, and eloquence of man can never save one soul. It's all of God from beginning to end. Yes, salvation is of the Lord. Now then, time doesn't permit me to elaborate on the last scripture text for today, but it too is very significant. In Revelation 22 and verse 20, here's what we read. "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Yes, sinner friend, the second coming of Jesus Christ is very near, even at the door. And I can say like the Apostle John, even so come, Lord Jesus. Friend, the next great event in the prophetic calendar of God is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And one of these days, perhaps today, faith is going to give way to sight, and I'll see my blessed Savior face to face. And throughout the countless ages of all eternity, I'll join the redeemed of all the ages past in singing, "Unto Him who loved me and washed me from my sin in His own blood." Yes, then we'll not only be delivered from the penalty and power of sin, but we who are saved will also be delivered from the very presence of sin. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, loneliness, pain, and anxiety. I'll be at home with my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But friend, if you're unsaved when Jesus Christ comes again, or if you die in your sins before He comes, your soul will be doomed and damned in hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. So please, friend, right now, if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you of your sin, look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for your sin. Yes, whoever you are and wherever you may be, acknowledge your sinnership in the sight of a holy God, repent of your sin, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you'll do that right now, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, in Jesus' name, we come to Thee at the close of another radio message to thank Thee for the privilege we've had of exalting Thy Son and presenting His claims as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. We claim Thy promise that the Word has not gone forth void, but might it even now be bringing conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of those who are listening in today outside of Christ. Pluck them as brands from the burning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have a little booklet that I'm giving away this week entitled Whither Bound, as well as some other basic and fundamental gospel tracts, you send your name and address to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now to our next broadcast, If the Lord Doesn't Come. I said, If the Lord Doesn't Come. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.